Blog Talk Radio.
The Healing Circle is a panel composed of spiritual teacher Kat Edwards and myself, David Clark, a former social worker. We come together every week for topical discussions in which we share our experience, strength, and hope about everyday life. From depression to connection, we cover all the issues you feel and see as you walk life's sacred journey. Listeners are encouraged to call in and contribute to the show because we all have hard-earned wisdom we need to share. Join us every week at the same day and time. And for tonight's show, we're going to be talking about how do we neutralize and overcome fear. Let me welcome Kat. Kat, how are you tonight?
I'm wonderful, thank you. And thanks to everybody who's tuned in.
Yes, and we have a special treat. Jean Salch has joined us tonight. And the caller that brought up the topic, her name is Deanna. She's in the studio, too. And we may have some others, but if not, that's fine, too. We're very grateful for the connections that we've made for tonight. And, Kat, you know, I was thinking before the show about a couple of acronyms that I am familiar with that I've heard of for fear, and I really like them. One of them is false evidence appearing real. And the other thing is face everything and recover. Because until we face our fears, they become like monsters to us. And they can impede our progress. They can stop us dead in our tracks. And we don't grow if we don't nudge ourselves. And I found that for myself, I need to respect the little child that lives within me and take baby steps if I'm afraid of something. But I do need to take steps forward or I'm going to remain absolutely stymied, I guess, for lack of a better word. What would you like to share about fear?
Well, I absolutely agree with you that you have to face your fears. And I can think of a handful of times in my life when fear has dictated to me. And I can remember conversations with other people who were caught in a trap because of fear. And some people I know are very accomplished in their life, but fear controls them. And as a result, they lack certain skills that would allow them to have a more complete and fulfilled life. So fear can be quite a difficult experience, and it is an experience. It's an emotional experience, but it's an experience. It's a survival experience. And the body is built in to have fear, and fear is healthy in short, small doses. You see, you're on the plains of the Serengeti and there's a lioness coming for you. You betcha that fear is going to work for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you're seeing a viper snake chasing you. Well, there's fear going to kick in there too. And fear will keep you looking out for danger. So it's a survival mechanism. But what tends to happen with people is something happens once upon a time in their life which caused them to experience fear. And it may have been a repeated trauma or it could have been a once-off, depending on a person's experience. However, the reliving of the past creates an addiction in the body to the hormones that are secreted through fear. So the physiological experience is that the body becomes addicted to the stress hormones that are secreted through fear. And the as a result, the person remains in a survival state long after the reason to be in survival state is complete. So as you said, we need to face those fears. And sometimes that's not easy. For a long time, I had a fear of answering the phone, and I had good reason for it. I went through a long period of time of having, with my special needs sons, I'd get phone calls from the school, and they were often difficult phone calls. And I got to a point, I just didn't want to answer that phone. And long after all of that finished, I couldn't face the phone, and I would not return phone calls or listen to my voicemails. And it was fear that was governing that. So I started to have to really push through it. And one of the things that you can do is recognize that fear is in the body. And when you sit with the body and you sit with the fear and you sit with it for 2 or 3 minutes, you start to then explore the fear within your body, and you start to look at scenarios and possibilities. You can unpack that fear and recognize that, you know, 9 times out of 10, the result that you think is going to happen is not going to happen. If we base it on facts, it's not going to happen. You know, under my current circumstances, if the phone rings, it's most likely going to be a telemarketer, not somebody who's trying to tell me that I have to get back up to school and I can't have a job because I've got special needs kids and I can't live my life. So the fear of something that may not happen can be greater than the fear of something that will happen. So we have to rationalize our fears. We have to look at the reality of where we are in our life and if that will actually occur. And you know, scientists have proven that you can desensitize yourself to fear by exposing yourself to a circumstance that may have caused you fear in the past but no longer causes you fear, such as fear of being in crowds, elevators, airplanes, arachnids, and so on. So that's my take on it. It is a survival mechanism, and it's necessary, but we should not allow it to rule or wreck our lives. We are in control of the body. The body is not in control of us. And that is the way to circumvent the fear, is to take control. Absolutely. What do you think, David?
I think so, too. And at a later point in time, if time allows, I'm going to share a couple of instances in my life where I had to deal with fear and overcome it. I totally agree with you about fear as being a necessary survival trait when faced with danger. Obviously, in that instance, we need to be vigilant. And the word I was looking for before instead of stymied was debilitation. That's something that can come out of great fear and, you know, absolutely stop you in your tracks. And that can be good in the survival situation, but in terms of proceeding through daily life, it can be very dysfunctional. And so I would be interested in what anybody has to say about how they face fear so that it does not cause dysfunction in their lives. We do have a couple of callers. I'd like to go to the phone lines and then come back to talk more with you, Kat. I have Jean Salch here, and I'm going to bring her live. Hi, Jean.
Hey, David. Hi, Kat. Hi, David. Hi, Kat.
Hi.
Hi. Nice to hear your voice, Jean.
Thank you. First, I want to say, excuse me, that I agree with everything both of you have said. But what I would like to add with that before I say how I face fear is that if you believe in reincarnation, we also can carry fear over and over in from various lifetimes, and that will hold in our cellular memory also, such as, you know, like when Kat was talking about fear of water, elevators, blah 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 type, she listed a bunch of them. I've talked to lots of people over my lifetime as a healer who were terrified to take a shower or terrified to take a bath, and it was because of a past life where they had drowned or they were drowned, if that makes sense. I have faced lots of fears in my life, and it's for those of us who are giving advice and suggestions, you know, we also need to remember that, yes, it is a scary step to start taking yourself out of the fear, because the reason why people stay stuck also is because they're afraid of the unknown, you know, and they might not realize that consciously, but on a subconscious level. But I guess I'm a really good example on that, because I grew up in a household of extreme fear, and fear like not to touch the salt shaker, fear not to take a shower or touch the phone. And as a result, I was, you know, naturally, you know, a nervous wreck through my body. My body was always constipated and shaking. And it was really hard for me to really study and retain when I was in high school and such. But anyway, as a result of that and becoming a healer, I started to face each fear a little one at a time. And the very first fear that I faced myself consciously was going out to dinner by myself. Because so many people are afraid to go out to dinner and sit in a restaurant by themselves. They'll go to a fast food, you know, a cafe by themselves, but not an actual nice restaurant. So the first time I did it, it was a little uncomfortable, but I did not have any fear or anxiety, because I decided I was going to make myself do it. And then after the experience, as I left, I was like, okay, that wasn't so bad. You know, now I know that I can go into a restaurant and have a meal by myself and not have any baggage, any fears or insecurities come up. Some people face fears because, and they need to get out of an abusive situation. When I was married, the first time I was married to a very physical and verbal abusive man. And where I couldn't do anything and I was under total control and observation over every move that I made or any phone call that I made. And one day I decided I was leaving no matter what. And I want your listeners to know that this was really brave of me, because the fear that I was facing was this. My parents were very dysfunctional, so they did not think me leaving a husband that beat me while I was pregnant was good enough reason to leave, okay? So they already told me they wouldn't help me. I didn't have any friends to help me, any family to help me, and I decided I didn't care if me and my baby had to live in a cardboard box, that I was going to leave it. And it took every ounce of me to pack up whatever I could for the baby and the clothes on my back to get on a plane to leave, and I did it. And the bottom line was, I only ended up really being homeless a couple of weeks with my daughter. But then someone gave me a break, and I got some clothes, and I got a job, and then within a couple of months, I had my own apartment. And that's a big major fear to face, especially when you don't have a safety net like a mother or a father or a sister or a brother. You know what I'm saying, Kat and David?
Yes, yes.
I know that
to
was
me
really
that,
intense, but I'm a survivor.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And I thank you for sharing that. Was there anything else you wanted to say, Jean? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, thank you. Yes, I just wanted to add this, that I don't really go into fear now, but when I did, I practiced breathing and calming my breath and verbally, even if I needed to verbally do it, tell myself, it's okay, Jean, because what's the worst that could happen? What's the best that could happen, right?
Right.
And then you just got to keep going because you got to say, you got to get through that fear, because I can't believe how incredibly peaceful I am on the inside now. I actually had inner peace. And I thought there was a time when I would never have inner peace, or I would never feel that I was even worthy to be loved or feel loved, you know? And that's a fear, too, that people experience. You know, will I be loved in life? And, you know, it's really important to think about needs and values, because what our parents' values and needs were, were really not ours, but they inflicted them on us because of their own stuff and their own fears. And most of us, you know, adhered to it.
I think that's an important point that you just brought up, and that is that we tend to take on fears that have been projected onto us as we're growing up. I don't know if I've got this right, but I've heard that many of us are largely ruled by the first 7 years of our life. And if you think about all the things that may have happened then that could have caused us to fear, there's a lot of work to be done to overcome that, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely, because you're right. The first 7 years of any child's life is the most informative. And what they get programmed with, whatever they're experiencing, whatever they're taught, is their foundation for when they go out in the world, whether even if it's unconscious, you know what I mean? I mean, subconscious.
Right, right, right. What do you think, Kat?
I'm moved by your story, Jean. I really am. And I found myself homeless with a newborn as well when I was 23, couch surfing for almost a year. And I went through some pretty difficult experiences during the early time of my parenthood, and so I can sympathize with you. My partner wasn't beating me up though, but he was abusive in other ways, and left me out on a rural property with no water and very little food for a couple of weeks at a time, with no car, pregnant with a one-year-old, things like that. And I also really agree that a lot of fear is put onto us. And I look at my own smaller children, they're 5 and 6, and this overreaction to spiders that has happened that I've never taught them. I teach them to have a healthy respect of animals, but not to fear animals. That's not come from me. Not come from their father or from their grandparents. That's come from society, this overreaction fear of spiders. And I have to now get them to unlearn that fear, because here in Australia, if you've got a huntsman in your house, a huntsman spider, then you know what, it's not too bad, because it's going to be eating any cockroaches that are around, and silverfish and anything like that. It's like having a python in your roof. Everyone knows if you've got a python in your roof, you don't have any rats. So most people who live in a rural property won't worry about the python. They'll just be friendly with it. But the people have a fear of snakes, and they'll go off their brain. But who actually taught them that fear? Sometimes it wasn't the people that they live with, but it was a societal fear that's not based in any reality. This fear of sharks that most people have, that came from a movie. A lot of people didn't have extreme fear of sharks until Jaws came along. And there's been whole documentaries on that, about people suddenly being afraid to go swimming because of a robotic shark in a movie. There's a lass here, she calls herself Shark Girl, I don't know her real name, but she's on a campaign to educate people, because here in Australia, if you go to the fish and chip shop and you order flake, it's not a type of fish that you'll be eating, it's a shark. And she's trying to educate people not to eat sharks and not to fear them and to show them respect. And we had some shark attacks recently up in Airlie Beach, and the waters aren't there. Well, there was a deceased whale that they were feasting on, and some idiots were jumping into the water where the whale carcass was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yet the DPI decided that they would fear the shark and further the fear of sharks and try and attack the shark. But it was just doing its natural thing, and the humans were the idiots and should have been punished, not the shark. So fear can affect society in ridiculous ways and go all the way up to government. And how we dispel fear like that is through education and to reframe. And if you have a fear that didn't come from inside your house and you don't know where it's come from because it didn't come inside you, then you need to look at what is going on around you and decide whether or not that's even based in some kind of reality and unpack your fear. I mean, how often do you go out into the deep waters to swim? I don't. If I'm going swimming in the ocean, I'm not going out to the deep waters. I'm generally hanging out with the breakers. I mean, some people do. But those people would be aware. If you're swimming in the ocean, you'd be aware, you'd be educated about the ocean. You'd know what to look out for. So education overcomes fear. We've seen it time and time again in history. It's why we came through the Age of Reason. And we need to keep ourselves in that state of knowing, because that is where we're not going to have these superstitions and these fears that destroy our lives and the lives of innocents around us. That's pretty much all I have to say at the moment about that. What do you think, David?
Well, I wanted to ask Jean if I could comment on her share.
Sure.
The one thing that impressed me about your share was the courage that it took for you to make the moves that you did. And I know a little bit more of your story, and I see you as a very courageous woman, and that you reached out for help also from within yourself, from divinity. And I think that reaching out for help is an important way to neutralize fear and eventually to overcome it. I can think of a couple of instances in my life where I did just that, and it helped me move through the fear. And I didn't have to do it alone, but I really commend you, Jean, because I know that your journey was very much one of self-healing, and that just really, really speaks of what a strong woman you are. And a couple of things that I wanted to share about my experience. As many people know, I've suffered from depression during my life, and the first time it hit me was when I was in graduate school, and it was debilitating, and I became afraid that I would fail, and ultimately I decided to drop out of graduate school because the fear was so overwhelming. I went to see a counselor, and they agreed that that might be a good step for me to take at that point in time. I was suicidal, and the counselor helped me get past that kind of stuff, and I'm most grateful for that. But after I made that decision and took that action of dropping out of graduate school, I was able to get in touch with what power I actually had, and I came up with a new plan for myself that launched me into a successful career as a businessman for a number of years. And I went within and remembered the strength that I possessed. And so that was a combination of reaching out and reaching within. I had an experience 6 years ago. It was when I was not with my husband. We had broken up after a 12-year relationship. We subsequently came back together, but for a year we were separated, and we did not have the intention of an enduring relationship. So I got involved with somebody who turned out to be addicted to drugs, and hardcore drugs, and I'd never had an experience like that in my life. And I'm not going to go into the whole ball of wax, but ultimately I made the decision that I needed to get out of that relationship, and I appealed to somebody else to help me do that. I took this person to one of their to the hood where they were going to get drugs, and I had the intention of not picking him up again, although I told him at the time that yes, I would come and pick him up. I knew that I was not going to do that. He had a violent side to him, and I wasn't going to set myself up for that. But then I went to another friend and asked him to come home with me in the event that this person showed up. And it turned out that did not happen. But the act of reaching out for help and asking somebody to come back and provide some moral support for me helped me get through the fear. And I was so grateful that this person did not show up on my doorstep. So those were just a couple of times when I reached out for help and was able to get past my fear and recognize that, you know, as Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, the only thing to fear is fear itself. I think when I thought about the courage that Gene demonstrated, I was thinking about the Cowardly Lion and the Wizard of Oz, and how the act of facing up to his fear of the Wicked Witch of the West was what ultimately saved him. He found that courage within himself to face something that was evil. And, you know, he later discovered that he'd had that courage all along, even though he was looking for it from the Wizard of Oz. He possessed that from within himself. And I think that's an important lesson that Gene has pointed up, is that we do have that courage within ourselves, but sometimes, as I've discovered, it's helpful to reach out for help from others to help dispel whatever fears we may have and to make us feel safer. So those are just a couple of things that I wanted to share. I don't know if there's anything else you would like to share, Kat or Jean. I've got the line open to both of you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd like to just talk about something else that came to mind while you were discussing that, and that is that you be careful who you reach out to, because sometimes you can reach out to the wrong person. Think about the people that you're reaching out to. Because if they're a person that thrives on drama and thrives on gossip and thrives on fear-mongering, then they're more likely going to plant more fears in your brain. or, you know, I know of some people that will start to trump up the fears and make up new fears upon the fears that are already there.
Mm.
And they'll build and build and build and build on these fears, and it's all a farce. And some people are running a narrative in their head that is a fear-filled narrative as it is. So listen to your gut. You know, sometimes when I want to reach out, I'll think about my friends and I'll think about who would welcome me to talk to them in the first place. You know, some people are asleep. It's a different time in the day for them, different time zone. Other people are at work. Other people, I know they wouldn't be able to handle the situation. And I boil it down to maybe I just don't talk to anyone. I go and speak to a counsellor. And that is really a key element as well, is go and speak to a counsellor if you need to, not a psychologist, because, you know, they're qualified to discuss situations to do with the way that we think. And it's worthwhile putting the time into yourself to go and do that. And I also agree with you about the courage factor. You made me think about a time I was quite a young woman, single mother, you know, a hell of a lot on my plate, difficult special needs kids, very little support from the community. I had my mother to support me, but she was pretty stretched thin with a full-time job and what have you. And I had a real estate agent that was pushing me out of my house. They'd sold the house and not told me and gave me 9 days to leave. Now, under the law, you've got 4 weeks, but they tried to get me to leave in 9 days. And that's 9 days to pack, clean the house top to toe, inside and out, and also house hunt and get a new house. 9 days, not enough time. So I decided to follow a process, and I think this is a real key when you're faced with anything that is a monumental, frightening experience, like, oh, my God, I'm losing my home. I have kids to house, and how the hell am I going to find somewhere else? I mean, I knew they had the house up for sale, but they did not tell me they sold it. So I followed a process. I said, right, what's the first step? What's the second step? What's the third step? I wrote lists and I just kept following the process. Mm. I rang and got advice, and the advice was to turn around and tell them that you're taking your 4 weeks. So I did. I said, I'm taking my 4 weeks and that's it. I then knew that I couldn't move into the house that I had found until 3 days after the 4 weeks was up. I rang and got more advice, and they said they cannot, by the time they arrange for a court injunction to get you out, you'll already be out, so just tell them you're going to take the extra 3 days. That was a very, very frightening experience for me. I was very young. I was in a daunting situation, and these real estate agents were in the authority position. And for me to walk into their office and tell them, no, I'm taking 4 weeks, that's my right, and then to turn around and say, and I'm having another 3 days, I was shaking. I was so frightened. I chose who I would talk to about it. I was very careful about who I spoke to about it. I spoke to the Queensland Government Residential Tenancy Authority, and I spoke to a neighbour who I knew was a businesswoman and had a head on her shoulders and was not emotionally involved. And it made a massive difference. So, yeah, I totally agree with you to go and speak to somebody, but think about who you're speaking to. And if you have a fear that is governing your life and destroying your life, then seek help with a psychologist.
That's a powerful share, and I appreciate what you said about the trust factor going to a person that's trustworthy. And the comment I wanted to make that came to me as you were talking was that you used your head and you asserted yourself. And those both came from courage and strength of your the strength of your knowing that you deserve something better. Jean, is there any comment you wanted to make before I go to Deanna, who brought up the subject? I'd like to find out from Deanna what made her raise the topic. And so think about that, Deanna, and I will be coming to you in a moment. Jean, is there anything you'd like to say?
I just wanted to say thank you for that share, Kat. And I also wanted to comment on what Kat had said before we, when she was talking about how the media and society inflicts fear. When you brought up the movie Jaws, it reminds me, I have a friend to this day who will not go in the ocean. She won't even sit, put her feet like where the water comes up on the sand, since that, because of that movie. And people need to remember
that
society will do everything they can to also promote fear. And
good
to remember
point.
What is illusion,
yes.
Right, because what is illusion and what is not, right.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I wanted to add. Yeah. Thank you, David.
Thank you, Jean. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Was there something you wanted
to
say, Kat?
Fear is used to, I was going to say, you know, fear is often used to control.
Mm.
And, you know, that's why I don't watch mainstream media anymore, because of the BS that they're pumping out to control the minds of the masses. Think for yourself. Don't buy into fear. Get educated. Ask questions.
Education is so important. Absolutely.
Mm.
Let me go to Deanna. I'm going to bring her live, too. Hi, Deanna. How are you?
Hi, David. Good evening, both ladies, Kat and Jean. And I've been there. I've been through what you went through, Jean, different ways, but been there. The difference is I didn't have to have as much courage as you did, because I did have a mother and a father who helped. And helped me put a lot of distance. But now that I no longer do, not too long ago, maybe like 12 years ago almost, I had to face a situation that left me out in complete fear. And I'm still trying to completely overcome it. I've survived it, but I have not totally overcome it, especially when it comes to the fear of how to keep going when you have to rely on yourself. Fear is very contagious, and whether it is a friend, like you said, Kat, you have to be careful who you go to, because they could just instill more fear in you instead of dilute it or dispel it, you know. So it's always a challenge to overcome loss, to overcome an attack, and to keep on going the way you believe the world should be, with high-minded principles in doing the right thing without taking reprisals or revenge. It's difficult to stay on that noble path, but I feel that if one doesn't, everything becomes even worse.
Deanna, let me ask you, what caused you to bring up the topic on?
Oh, the fact that I've had to live with fear for a long time, a very long time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And being faced with people's non-compassionate attitudes and rejecting attitudes, and that fills you with fear, because when you see that others are not understanding, you tend to feel that there's only you are understanding a situation and the others aren't, so it's you against them.
Well, let me ask you this. Are there any questions that you have that you would like us to address before we move into meditation? We have another 10 or 15 minutes left for discussion.
Well, I think what was said earlier about going into the breathing, regulating your breathing is very good. Imagery is very good. I don't know how to dispel fear, how to dilute it. So if you, other than reaching out to someone else, if you have another way to handle fear, let me know. I also want to say this. You know, they always say it's fight or flight, but I don't think it's a fight or flight. I think it's fight, flight, or freeze. And often what
or
happens...
What?
Or freeze. Because
wait,
with the fear. So it's like three Fs. The freeze, I think, is the most common one, is the one that makes us call ourselves cowardly or not brave enough. And it's hard to be brave, but it's like God said, step one, step two, step three. I think that that's valuable advice, to just write down what are the steps that we're going to take to come out of this situation.
Well, thank you for that share, Deanna. Jean or Kat, is there anything that you would like to say about what Deanna has just talked about?
David, could I add something to Deanna, for Deanna?
Please. Please do. Yes.
Deanna, I'm a holistic healer, and my suggestion for you as a healer is this. When you're feeling moments where you are powerless, yes, I agree with everything that we have all said, and we all would say the same things. It's just that we're not repeating what each one has said so we can say other things. But my suggestion to you is to breathe in your power, because we give our power, our personal power, away when we go into the fear mode emotionally, mentally, or in a circumstances that we're about to face. So if you take just a minute, not even 60 seconds it takes, and breathe your power in 7 times. And as you do, send it into like your core, so that you are filling your entire, from your core center all the way out through your body and your aura, your personal power. You're breathing it back like... Does that make sense?
Well, I just muted Deanna because I discovered that with all the open lines that the quality of the sound was not good. So let me just mute you for a minute, Jean, and then I'll bring Deanna up to answer that question that you had for her, okay?
Okay.
All right. Deanna, did that make sense to you, what Jean was just saying?
Yes, and I also want to clarify something. I'm sitting outside, and next door the air conditioner goes on. So when it goes on, there's like a big humming sound. So I'm sorry for that. It just turned...
No, that wasn't what it was, honey. Go ahead. Sorry.
No? Oh, okay. Well, yes, it does make sense. And 7 times sending it in. So it's like a pause, that fear, pause the influx of fear, and just breathe for 60 seconds. It makes sense, because you're getting oxygen in, and I think, I don't know, I could be completely wrong, but I think that when we are in fear, we allow less oxygen in.
Yeah, it's really easy to stop breathing at points and then suddenly take a deep, deep breath that's like, an emergency inhalation. Let me go back to Jean, Deanna, and thank you for validating what Jean just said. Let me go back to Jean.
David, I just want to make sure that Deanna's really... I just wanted to make sure that Deanna is really clear on what I was saying. Yes,
okay.
The oxygen is good and everything, but that's not the intentions. Is for you to breathe back and take back all the power that you're giving away from the fear in the moment. Does that make better sense the way I said it, David?
Yes, it does. Deanna, did that make sense to you?
Yes, it does. But I feel that oxygen is, in a way, part of that feeling of power.
I have both of you live now.
Okay. I'm going to mute
myself. In other words, it's okay. In other words, when we are in fear takes away some of that oxygen. So if we just aggregate it, if we just add it on, then it dilutes the feeling of fear. If we are chemical beings, as we are told that we are, with the adrenals overacting and everything, it's all a chemical thing. So to neutralize it, I think the addition of extra oxygen would help. And when we are paralyzed, we are sort of like tense. We hold our muscles very, very tense. And in my view, fear is in the muscles. So if you get some oxygen, they just relax. I could be completely wrong. This is just intuition.
Let's hear what Kat has to say.
What you're describing is a hiding response, the freeze. Imagine you're in the Arctic and a polar bear is after you. You find a cave and you hide. You're going to be as still as possible, and you don't want to breathe loud, because if you breathe loudly, it'll hear you. So the paralyzing response is there so that you can hide effectively and survive. And you get small, and you don't use much energy at all, and you get stiff, and you get really, 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 really still. That way, you might survive. So what you're describing to me is the hiding response. So I agree. It's fight, flight, or freeze. And that freeze is stopping you from getting eaten on a primitive physiological level. I've spent a lot of my life hiding until recent years when I put myself out there. 2011 was when I started to put myself out there. Until then, I was hiding, and I'm probably still to some degree hiding now. It's a way of not exposing yourself to criticism. It's a way of keeping yourself safe from meanness from others and from being detracted from what you want to focus on that you know you're good at, or showing what you're good at and then having somebody try and pull you down. So when you're having that hiding freeze response, breathing into it, I agree. Oxygen is really important because you're stopping that. You don't want to breathe loudly. Your whole body's saying, I'm frightened, I'm frightened. But if you do that, the animal's going to smell the fear. It's going to smell the output of the CO2, and it's going to find you because they can smell fear. So all those functions shut down. So sitting and breathing through it is perfect, because that brings that oxygen back to the muscles. You can take yourself through a relaxation exercise. And then, as Jean said, empower yourself. So when the feeling to hide comes over, the freezing experience comes over, breathe, tell the body it's safe, because it's a full body response. It's not necessarily a soul or mind response. This is a physiological response. So be in charge of the body. Excuse me. Tell the body you're safe. You're safe. You're safe. And the predator is past. The mean person is gone. The whatever was the trigger is no longer there. And then remind yourself of something that you're good at. Re-empower yourself. So you would remind yourself that you can. I can be, I can do, I am good at this, I am strong, I am powerful. And you re-empower yourself with the breath. But you have to get in control of your body. And, you know, sometimes it's bad to really explore fears without going to see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. So when it does come over you, to re-empower yourself by taking yourself through that relaxation will get you over the line so that you can go and see somebody to really discuss it. So I hope that's complemented what Jean had to say.
Jean, would you like to share some more?
No, thank you. I'm all set. Thank you.
You sure?
Thank you.
Okay.
Yes, I'm
positive.
Well, thank you.
Okay. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Jean. And Deanna, thank you for bringing up the topic. It's really, really an important topic to discuss and to incorporate into our lives. And I really liked what you just had to say too, Kat. I think it's really important to be able to feel empowered yourself and to get to the point where you have some self-assurance and can face your fears on your own. Unless anybody else has anything to add, I'd like to move into meditation.
All right.
I just wanted to add self-soothing as well. Helping to overcome fear. Self-soothing is really, really important. That could be just playing with your hair, or finding something soft to touch, or watching a TV show that gives you good feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But self-soothing will assist in overcoming fear.
Thank you, Kat.
So
that's great.
Do you hear me?
Oh, yes. Yes, okay. I can.
So then so inspiration would work as self-soothing.
Absolutely.
Or looking at beautiful flowers or any kind of inspiration.
Yeah, and that kind of goes hand in hand with some things that Jean was sharing earlier in the show. I think that that's important to be able to visualize and use imagery, or what's that, Kat? I'm sorry, I don't recall. But let's move into meditation. We're coming towards the end of the hour. And so I'd like everybody to just close their eyes and take 3 deep healing breaths and count in to the count of 7. Hold and release to the count of 7. And repeat 2 more times. And now I want you to visualize yourself standing at the entrance to a forest. There's a path that leads into the forest, and you feel some fear about walking within, but you know you need to get to the other side. You know that there's something waiting for you there that you need to experience. And so you take a few steps as you enter that path into the forest. And as you move into the forest, it becomes darker and you become afraid. And for a moment you're paralyzed. And then you see somebody that you can trust. Somebody from your past that has appeared to you and holds out their hand. And you realize you don't need to walk through the forest alone, that there's somebody there that's going to help you. And so you take their hand as they guide you gently along the path that winds through the tall trees that have darkened your pathway. And you continue to walk. You still feel somewhat afraid, but you feel reassured that you're not having to do this alone. And as you walk, you see a light up ahead. And you realize that everything that you've been fearing the darkness, is not as real as you had imagined, that there is light at the end of the forest. And suddenly, the person that's holding your hand is gone, and you realize that you can make it the rest of the way, that you can make it to the light, and that all will be well. And so you come to the end of the forest and walk out into a field immersed in brilliant sunshine. And there you see all the people that you've known and loved, that you know and love, standing there clapping because you've made it through your own fears. And you take their hands and stand in a circle and realize that you are one with all that is, with all these people, with all that is, that you are never truly alone, that it was only in your imagination. And so you walk into the brilliant sunshine of the field and you let go and you feel relieved and you know that all is well. And so when you are ready, open your eyes if you've had them closed, and know that all is well. And so thank you to everybody who's joined us tonight. We're going to need to come up with a new topic for next week. And if anybody has an idea for a topic, please send it to me on Facebook. Otherwise, we will come up with a topic to discuss at the same time next week. Good night, everybody.